All right, take your Bible tonight. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 1. Now, you know what Paul's doing here. He's loading Timothy up with the stuff he's going to need to know. And the Holy Spirit put that in this Bible for the same reason, for you and I. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, in your own strength, you're not going to be up to the task on many occasions. But He is. Paul wrote over in Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that's got to be where our confidence is. Verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And Paul didn't hold back. Paul gave Timothy, sound doctrine. And you know what I know about this church, having been a friend of your pastor for 13 years now, and coming to this church for 12 of them, he's loaded you up with sound doctrine. Amen. And that's not just for you to start a blog with, or, you know, that's for you to what? Just what it says there. Commit to faithful men. Let's get the word out, pass it on. And he says this to him, and it's a familiar passage, one of my favorites in the Bible, verse 3, thou, and he's still talking to Timothy, thou therefore, I just made up a word. Evangelists are allowed to do that. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man of war entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That would be Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're saved here tonight, you've been chosen to be a soldier. And the admonition here in the passage and in the message tonight is to be a good one. Amen. It's not automatic. You're going to have to put some thought into it. Amen. You're going to have to put some feet to your good intentions. But you can do it. And you ought to want to do it. So tonight I want to preach on this thought, how to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I'll draw from some of my experience in the military. All right? So let's pray. Father, again, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that right there contains the power that shakes the foundations of hell. And God, it isn't us. The devil's not the least bit intimidated by anybody in here. Regardless of where we went to school or what we think we might have accomplished for the cause. But God, we don't meet here in our own name, and we don't assemble with confidence in our past, present, or future outside of what this Bible says. We are in you. Father, I pray tonight, Father, we might get something from the message tonight, and if that would be the case, then I am entirely dependent upon you to say something that your Spirit can bear witness to, and that'll be a blessing to your people. And that is my desire. And most of all, Lord, I pray that you would be pleased with everything that goes on in this building tonight, both sides of this pulpit. Help us, Lord. We are needy, but by virtue of being here on a Friday night, there's a pretty good indication we've got an idea about what we need. And we need to get closer to you. And I'm glad tonight that we can. And I pray these things in that magnificent, mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. All right, so let me tell you something. I was in the Army. I enlisted. I enlisted in 1971. I enlisted. I wasn't drafted. My draft number was 361. All right? Out of 365, I would not have been drafted. I enlisted. My father was a veteran in World War II, and I was 18 years old, just out of high school, and didn't have much character, and didn't have a good job, and was bouncing around. And I went down to the post office in a little town up in Northwestern Ohio and talked to a recruiter, and the next thing you know, I was signed up. I remember going home, and my mom was out in the garden, and we lived way out in the country, and I said, "Hey, Mom, I got a job." And she was glad to hear that. She'd been praying I'd get a job. And she asked me what it was, and I said I joined the Army. She began to weep. 1938, she married my dad. 1941, my sister was born. In 1943, my dad was drafted and spent a year and a half overseas. She was not happy at the prospect of her son going to Vietnam. Amen. And she just wept. By the way, as my dad, who was a machine gunner in the Army in the Philippines, my mom volunteered to work at a bomb stenciling plant in Southern California. And if you know anything about World War II, a lot of ladies went to work to help out while the men were away. So my mom was at a plant stenciling bombs, and I wonder what she wrote on some of them. All right, amen. So, but I went ahead and I enlisted, and I went into a boot camp at Fort Knox. They don't even do boot camp there anymore. That'll make you feel old when they start shutting down the posts you trained at. And then I went from there. I went to infantry school. And I enlisted for infantry because my dad was infantry, and I wanted him to be proud of me. And I went to Fort Polk, Louisiana. That's the Paris Island for the Army. That was the armpit. That was the worst, absolutely the worst training post. It was swamp and the worst possible conditions to get everybody ready for Southeast Asia. I graduated from infantry school in January 1972. And everybody in the company was given orders for Vietnam and sent home on 30-day leave. And then a drill instructor stepped forward, and he had a clipboard. They all had clipboards. I wonder, do they have tablets now? You know, I don't know. Do they just use their phone like some Christians do when you say open your Bible? Where did that come from? I don't even know where that comes from. Amen. And this guy stepped forward, and he had a clipboard, and he read off 10 names. And those 10 people separated themselves from all the guys that were getting ready to get on a bus and head up to to catch a plane to go home for 30 days. And the 10 of us, amen, were put on a different bus. Those were the names of 10 people that had volunteered to go to paratrooper school. And it's, I don't know, about 30 that took the tests and all that. About 10 of us got chosen, and we didn't go home. We went to Fort Benning. And after 2.5 months in the swamps of Louisiana, Fort Benning was the most beautiful place I'd ever seen in my life. They had like concrete and grass and things like that. And amen, I really liked it at Fort Benning. Amen. The 10 men that got separated from the rest that had enlisted, but those 10 men volunteered for something extra. They volunteered to go above and beyond and submit themselves to even more training so that they could be better soldiers. And the airborne forces were 100% volunteer and still are. Amen. So I enlisted, and that's my point, because I'm trying to say to you tonight that if you're ever going to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ, you're going to have to enlist. You're going to have to enlist. You're going to have to sign up. You're going to have to volunteer to go above and beyond. Just like everybody that was in the Army was not a paratrooper, everybody that's saved is not a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I sure would encourage you to be one. Amen. But if you're going to, you're going to have to make a decision to go above and beyond. Amen? You must endeavor to give Him your best. That's all you can do. That's all He'll ask. You don't strive to be the best. Amen? That puts you in direct competition with every other soldier. In your case, every other brother and sister in Christ. What you need to try to do is concentrate on doing your best, giving your best to Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we get stuck in the rut of good enough. That's good enough. Compared to what so-and-so's doing or not doing, compared to what all the apostates are doing, we look pretty good. And we settle in and get satisfied with good enough. And I'm here to tell you that good enough is the absolute enemy of best. Jesus Christ deserves our best. Right? Our motto in the paratroopers was all the way. And when an officer would approach, we would salute, and he would say, "How far?" And our response was, "All the way, and then some, sir." Not halfway, not three quarters of the way. You hear me? All the way, and then some. And if anyone ever deserved that level of commitment, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's simple. Amen. And men can dedicate themselves to things like that or military service. How much more should we not see that we need to get, since he's using terms like this, a good soldier? How much easier should it be for us to understand we need to give Jesus Christ that kind of commitment? Amen? Now you may fail, and you're going to fail, and we fail. But don't fail to try. Amen? The Bible says a just man falleth seven times but riseth up again. The definition of a failure is going down. In the old days on the street, we'd say you don't judge a man by how he goes down. Everybody goes down. You judge a man by how he gets back up, and that's Bible. Then that definition of a loser, of a failure, is staying down. You don't have to. Sometimes it seems like it'd be easier just to throw it in. But Christ didn't throw in the towel. Amen? And he's our example. Amen? So don't fail to try. To be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you have to enlist. You have to make up your mind. You have to volunteer to go above and beyond. Now, this isn't a message about how to be saved. Preacher acknowledged, maybe everybody in here just about is saved. Okay, you're here third day in a row. I expect you're looking to kick it up a notch. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Right? So number one is enlist. And then number two, and we find the word in our passage. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Endure. First enlist, then endure. I need to say this to you. Jump school for me was a challenge. Amen. Even after 10 weeks in the swamps, jump school was still a challenge. I didn't run 13 miles in my prime. This brother's doing it for breakfast. Amen. I hate guys like that. Okay, I take that back. But amen. But out of the 300 that started, two-thirds were dropped out by the 10th day. Amen. They weeded people out. I tell you what, there were times I didn't have to do that. I'd been through boot camp. I got my infantry training. I did really well. I qualified really high with the machine guns. It's amazing how much fun you can have when the government's buying the bullets. But I wanted to be a paratrooper. My dad, he was a 30 caliber water-cooled Browning machine gunner and in the Philippines for a year and a half. And to me, he was a hero already. He's on the perimeter. But he said there were times where they get the signal, whatever the signal was, and a patrol would come in from long range reconnaissance patrol to come in, and they'd be the airborne rangers. And I noticed how my dad spoke of them. He said they carried themselves differently. There was something about them. They were a little more dedicated than anybody else. And I already, like I say, I admired what my dad did. And when I saw what he admired, I thought, that'd be something to shoot for. And there were days when I felt like quitting. I felt like dropping out. And like I say, I could have and gone on and been part of a unit. I didn't. You know why? Because I wanted to please my father. And that caused me to hang in there when I didn't feel like hanging in there. So to be a paratrooper, you had to endure. And many that started just didn't endure the hardness of the training. Amen? Well, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ tonight, you're going to have to endure some hardness. That's what the verse says. You must endure the hardness of study. You don't have to study anything to be saved. You need to be honest enough to admit that you're a hell-deserving sinner. and acknowledge that Jesus Christ, the Bible says, believe in thine heart. You got to acknowledge that Jesus Christ died for your sin to make a way for you to be saved. You don't have to be very smart. You don't have to know any Bible. You don't have to memorize another verse. If you did that, you're signed, sealed, waiting to be delivered. But you're not a good soldier. Amen. Not a soldier at all. Amen. You've been chosen, but you know what you do with it, like everything else, the Lord lays out before you. It's up to you to make the right choice. And so you must endure the hardness of study. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, you know that, but maybe you know this too. That's harder for some people than others. Amen. That's not easy for me. Reading doesn't come natural. And I get thank you for praying for me last year. I canceled 26 revivals to spend all those months in rehab for a total knee, total shoulder. Amen. VA took good care of me. Anybody wants my opinion of VA, I'll be glad to talk to you. They did me right. Amen. I spent more time at home than I've spent in 20 years. My first winter in 20 years. What'd you find out? Well, I was raised in the north. I found out I can handle it. Amen? It wasn't so bad. I'd sit there and I had all this time to study. And even, I mean, with a walker and ice bags and then a sling, I'd have all this time to study. And something, that garage, just one door, that motorcycle, it was calling me. I'd sit there and try to read and try to study. And that toolbox was calling me. And I'd go down to the garage and I can't do anything. But I'm not bookish. I wish I was. My wife is. My wife reads everything. Amen. I wish I did. Some of you do. Some of you got a problem because you like to read so much. There's a hook in that internet, amen, that drags me. I'm glad I'm not a big studier. Amen. I got another question for you. How did Google become a verb? I understand it's a company, dumb name for a company, but how did it become a verb? Because you ask a question, somebody says, Google it. Hey, I've done it. I have my phone. Amen. That's my phone. Artificial intelligence. That needs a message preached on it. We got a lot of it in the churches today. Artificial intelligence. I'm going to tell you what. We need to study. You need to endure the hardness of study. You don't have to be saved. You don't have to keep yourself to stay saved. You don't have to do that. You don't have to study to be a good church member, to be moral, to be honest. You don't have to study to hand out tracts. But if you're going to be a good soldier, you're going to have to do some studying. It says it in the passage, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So either approved unto God or you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Amen. I mean, it wasn't too many years ago, people were laying their lives on the line so that we could have this Bible in our language. Talking about being a good soldier in the infantry, all we did was train a light weapon specialist, all right? We trained continually. When I was called to preach in a rescue mission in Columbus, Ohio, I called my pastor on the way home. I said, I think God called me to preach. What do I do now? He said, just keep doing what you are doing. Stay in the Bible Institute. Learn the Bible. People don't need to know what you think. They need to know what God thinks. So I'm thinking, okay. The Bible does say in Ephesians chapter 6 that that Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. So to be a good soldier in the military, we trained with our weapons, and it translated pretty clearly to me. To be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to spend some time in that Bible. You must endure the hardness of study. It's not just important. It's imperative if you're going to be a good soldier. All right, we need some good soldiers. Amen? All right, and something else, too. You're going to have to endure the hardness of separation. That's become a bad word even in our circles. We don't like to talk about separation. It's judgmental or something. The Bible does say, though, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe Paul wrote to Corinthians, didn't he? Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. United States paratroopers were held to a higher standard than regular army. Higher standard in appearance, in uniform, in haircut, in conduct. Amen. I'm not saying that made us better. I'm not saying that kind of thing. I'm not trying to give that kind of impression. I'm saying we volunteered, we voluntarily were held to a higher standard. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're ever going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you need to understand something. You're going to be held to a higher standard too. I understand grace, I understand liberty, all that, but I'm here to tell you that if you want to be a good soldier in Christ, there's some things you just won't be able to do. There's some places you just won't be able to go. Amen. And there's people that say, well, you're just, you know, yeah, okay. I want to be a good soldier. Don't you? When I got saved, there were some people, the crowd that I got saved out of, the motorcycle gang world, there were people that were, seriously concerned that I might be a threat. And the Bible says, "And a natural man receiveth not." And they didn't understand. I didn't understand. I knew this. I knew God changed my heart, made a new creature out of me. I didn't know that really by verse, but I knew something was different. But He didn't make a rat out of me. But let me tell you something. The folks that I ran with, we were engaged in a lot of bad stuff, and I was a loose end. And it was suggested that they not risk letting me become a rat. Amen. That was kind of hard. We're talking about enduring hardness. That was kind of rough after 15 years of unquestioned loyalty. I can say now I'm glad I endured the hardness of separation, because it took over 20 years. But now they can see that I'm not their enemy, and I'm the one that's praying for them. And finally, it took a long time for the doors to open to witness to them. And a lot of people have a testimony of being ostracized by their family or their old associates for whatever reason. But I'm going to tell you what, if you'll endure that thing, it just might turn around and come around, and sooner or later you'll get an opportunity to let people know what really happened, because they don't understand what happened. They think we got religion. I didn't get religion. Amen. I got saved. Religion wouldn't have held my attention 6 months. Amen. I wasn't playing the game for the probation department. It would have been easier, as a lost man for me, it would have been easier to go into prison than hang out in church all the time. Without the Spirit of God bearing witness to what we're doing being right. I couldn't play this game. Amen. Not very long. People try it, and they're miserable. You need to just surrender. Amen. You need to throw in the towel. Everybody wants what God's got to offer, the gift. They don't want to give nothing back, and we can see it on their faces. I'm going to tell you what, you're missing out. I joined a motorcycle club to have a good time. I've been having a better time for the last 28 years. In church, often, if at least five, sometimes 7 days a week. I like this. Amen. I like God's people. Amen. But I'm telling you something tonight, you're going to have to endure the hardness of separation. Amen. And if you will, like I said, perhaps you'll get a chance. Maybe that family member or that friend or somebody didn't understand. Maybe you'll get a chance to talk to them sooner or later. Don't give them a chance to say, "See, I knew there was nothing to it." They might watch for 20 years for that opportunity to say, "See, I knew there was nothing to it." Don't you dare give them that chance. Say, "Well, it's hard." That might be a good thing, because you've got an admonition from the Word of God that says that you're to endure hardness. So think it not strange. You know what I'm saying? All right? So you must endure some things. You must endure. It says, first you enlist, but then you're going to have to endure. You're going to have to endure the hardness of study and the hardness of separation, perhaps. You're going to have to endure the hardness of service if you're going to be a good soldier. And now let me tell you something. Going to church, even every service, and a lot of people don't seem to have a handle on that anymore. But going to church every service, or going to the nursing home, or the street corner, or door to door, going to the jail, amen. And if that's not enduring hardness. By the way, I'm a big fan of the jail ministry. I was in, I don't know, maybe over there with Brother Ryman many years ago, and he had a guy who went to the jail every Saturday night. He'd been doing it alone for 10 years, and I said, I'll go with you. And I was able to get in. I can't get in a lot of them, but I was able to get in. And we had a great time, great service. He let me preach. And a couple guys got saved. I don't know about you, but that floats my boat. That makes it all worth it all. I owe Jesus Christ a soul for mine. I just look at it that way. So when one or two or more get saved, that makes me happy. That makes it all worth it. That makes every negative thing that's ever crossed my path more than worth it. And I'm happy. I'm coming home in the car, coming back to the church, coming home with this guy in his car. And I'm excited. I said, brother, that was great. Thank you for letting me go. Thank you for taking me with you. And he was not happy. He's not smiling. He's frowning. He's bummed out. And he says, I'm so sick of going down there and preaching to them convicts week in and week out, and they make professions, and then they say they promise to come to church, and they never come to church. Well, if the attitude like that, I'd have found another church too. And he was, you know, he was exasperated, and then he said those magic words. Brother Spurgeon, do you think any of them guys really, really get saved in jail? I looked over at him and I said, that's about the stupidest thing you could have asked me, isn't it? Amen. There's a verse in Luke 17:10. Pete Dickens signed my Bible when I preached for him in England one year. And it says this, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. Amen. Doing what you're supposed to do, following orders, doing your duty, is not above and beyond the call of duty. That's just good service. Amen? Reasonable service, as Paul put it in the book of Romans. You're going to have to endure the hardness of service without a pat on the back, and you got to be careful about not getting an attitude about somebody else that's not doing it. Why are you worried about them? Let me tell you something. If you're doing what you're doing for the Lord, it wouldn't bother you so much what other people are doing. And when it does bother you, it's because maybe you're doing things for the wrong reason. That was pretty good preaching. If I do say so myself. And I did, so whatever. Amen. Let me tell you something else about real soldiers. Now, I go back 45 years or so, but back then, real soldiers didn't carry victim cards looking for opportunities to use it. But we had a pit behind the mess hall, and you got mouthy with one of our drill instructors. Every one of them had done at least one tour in Vietnam. You got mouthy with one of those DIs. You went into the pit. Shirts came off, hat came off. You go into the pit. It was duke it out, fist fight. I watched guys go in there from Detroit and Cleveland, big old guys, street tough guys, strong guys, and I never seen a DI lose. Now, if you call them the wrong name, they got a victim card to pull out. So I've heard. Any of you guys, any veterans have victim cards? I wouldn't raise my hand either. Amen. But, I'll tell you this, I know this. Good soldiers of Jesus Christ don't look for opportunities to play the victim either. They look for opportunities to serve. Amen. You want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to endure the hardness of service. And like I said, Romans 12:1, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable what? All right. Now, here's the fun one. We're talking about enduring hardness. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Here's the good one. You must endure the hard. If you're going to be a soldier at all, you're going to have to endure the hardness of submission. Ooh, that's our favorite word. There's a gal down in a church in Fort Benning, right outside of Fort Benning, Phoenix City, Alabama. I go to that church, and she was a pastor's wife, and her husband, real nice guy. They're in the ministry like 50 years. By the time I met him, he was retired. She was blind. And they're elderly, much older than me. And much older, actually. And they were coming to the church. And it was a blessing to see them. They're nice. They're faithful. And first time I went to that church, and they asked this guy. He was there. And his name was Woodard. And he was a former pastor. And he just met me. And so they ask him to pray over the service, and the guy says, "Oh, hey, Lord, please help Brother Moody to preach today." Because he some of you didn't get that. Because he confused Moody and Spurgeon. They were old-time preachers. You're going to have to do a class on that now. Well, Brother Woodard got sick and died. And that didn't keep Mrs. Woodard from coming to church. Somebody go pick her up. She's blind. She's 85 or something like that. And she would come to church. They'd bring her. And she was just a sweet old lady. And she'd sit there. And you know, you'd get in front of her and you'd say, "Hello, Mrs. Woodard." And if I didn't see her once a year, she'd say, "Hello, Brother Spurgeon." She remembered my voice. I don't know why. And I wasn't yelling at her. Amen. And she'd put her hand out like a blind person would do. And you get their hand. And I says, "How's it going?" And she said, "Brother Spurgeon, I'm just thanking God for one more day to submit to Him." And I'm like, who thinks like that? I mean, she wakes up in the morning realizing she's on this side and was thanking God that He had given her another day to submit to Him? Let me say it again. Who thinks like that? I'm going to tell you who thinks like that. Good soldiers of Jesus Christ think like that. That's high ground, man. I'm not there. That doesn't end what occurs to me. Amen? But that Bible says submit yourself. James chapter 4 says submit yourselves, therefore, to God. What does that mean? This is hard. You ready? Get your pen out. You might want to write this down. What does it mean to submit yourself to God? It means do what He says. Ah, that's deep, isn't it? That's hard. I mean, I didn't have to translate one word from Greek, Hebrew, amen, Lithuanian, or anything else. Amen. Do what He says. Let me tell you something else about a good soldier. Good soldiers are part of a unit. I was in Bravo Company of the 1st Battalion, 509th Airborne Infantry Battalion Combat Team. I wear jump wings on my uniform because this is my uniform, because I have to go back 30 years, 40 years to find something in my adult life that I'm not ashamed of. I'm not ashamed that I served our country. I'm not ashamed that I served honorably. Amen? I was part of a unit. It was a good unit. It was an outstanding unit. We worked together. We learned about camaraderie. You covered each other. You took care of one another. Amen? Like the church is supposed to be. Loose cannons in combat. Rebels in combat will get people killed. There was no place for them. Not to be a good soldier. And I'm going to tell you what, there's no place for loose cannons here. Amen? That book says in Ephesians 5, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Good soldiers understand there's a chain of command. I love preaching at military churches. I got them. I've got them in Air Force churches, Army churches, Marine Corps churches down in South Carolina. You preach to a bunch of military people and they can take it. Because they understand. Somebody's in charge. You get around a church where a bunch of people are college educated, amen. Even Bible college educated, if it ain't the right one, And then they got to question everything and pick everything apart, and they got to run everything through the, well, I think, filter. Amen? Well, good for you. Go do that somewhere else, because don't do it on the battlefield. I thought we were in a war. Amen? Got no use for that stuff. Good soldiers understand they don't have the Absalom complex. You know, they're back in the background saying, well, if I were king, I would do it like this. We got them in churches all over America. Well, the pastor says, but if it was up to me, it's not. Shut up. Learn to submit. If you're ever going to be a good soldier, I'm just trying to help you do it your way. You can do the Burger King Christianity thing if you want, but I got a feeling there's some folks that are interested in how to be a better soldier for Jesus Christ in His church. So I'm giving you a couple things. Amen? Let me tell you this. The hardness of submission has kept a lot of people from being good soldiers. Amen? You're going to have to endure some hardness. And I get that. And let me give you a little tip. This is what worked for me. When the going gets real tough, do it for your Father. You catch that? All right, last of all, because obviously you got to have 3 points, even make it into the Evangelist Union. Amen. Okay, endure hardness. Okay, we're talking about a good soldier. Number one, you got a list. Then you got to endure. Last, you got to exit. You got to exit. Listen, all that training in jump school did not make you a paratrooper. All that running, all them towers, all that stuff, that did not make you a paratrooper. You actually had to get to jump week where you had to board an aircraft and exit it 5 times while in flight. 5 times that week to get your wings. Amen? People say, why would anybody jump out of a perfectly good airplane? You want me to tell you why? Because somebody needs to get in the stinking fight. Jumping out of airplanes was just the way we got there. We volunteered to get in the middle of it. That's what a good soldier does. People put too much focus on the jumping out of planes. That was the easy part. It's what you do when you get to the ground that matters. Somebody's got to fight. Amen? All right, so let me wind this down. Somebody once said in a invitation, he said, I'm going to prepare to land this plane. You know, and I thought to myself, I was a paratrooper. I don't know anything about landing a plane. I'm just going to jump out when I'm done. Amen. So in the aircraft, you had 8 jump commands. Now, number one was get ready. Now, you've already been through school. You're up there in the aircraft, and get ready means pay attention. And the jump master is giving his commands. Get ready, and then you got inboard personnel and outboard personnel. You got 4 sticks, and he'd say, stand up. First outboard, then inboard, I think. I don't remember. But you stand up, and then you're in single file, and you're staggered. And then he says, hook up. And you take your static line, and you hook it to the cable. You'll get to the cable. We weren't county fair jumpers, you know, with flags and smoke. We're jumping 150 pounds of combat equipment. We were on a static line, jumping out in the night, whatever. Bad weather. So you hook up that static line. The next command is, check static line. And you look up there, and you hook that static line, and you click it, and then there's a little hole, and there's a little cotter pin, and you stick that pin through there, and you bend it. Because if that comes unhooked, ooh, you're going to be first one to the ground. Amen. You're not going to have much to do once you get there. Then the next command is check equipment. So one more time. This is serious. One more time. You're in the aircraft. The door's open. You're approaching the drop zone. And you're in this. You're packed in like a sardine. And he says, check equipment. And you check your equipment. What you can see, and your reserve is right there. But problem is, the main part of your equipment is on your back, and you can't check it. So what do? You check the guy in front of you. The guy in front of you, you go over everything, and if you see something out of line, you see a line that's not routed correctly, amen. And somebody's checking yours. We looked out for each other. Amen. The next command was what? Because it's been a long time. Sound off for equipment check. And if everything was good, they'd say okay, and they'd send that command when the jump master had okay from all sticks. The next command, the second to last command, was stand in the door. And whoever got to be first, I got to be first about 8 times out of 34. You stand in the open door of that aircraft at 1,250 feet, and I'd slow the aircraft down to 150. What did I just say? 1,250 feet off the ground, 150 miles an hour. They'd slow it down to 150 miles an hour. Now, the C-141 had a big metal airfoil on the inside with holes drilled in it, and it was all hydraulic, really high-tech, and this wing would go out to the outside of the aircraft, and it would stand out like that. And the old turboprops that we jumped didn't have that. So I said to the jump master, I said, "What's that for?" And he said, "That's so you don't get sucked into the jet engine." And I said, "How'd you figure out you needed that?" And they say, stand in the door, and you put your toes on the outside of the aircraft, you put your hands on the outside of the aircraft, and that's what you do this for, because the view is amazing. It is. And in your peripheral vision, you can see this big red light. And you're standing there, and you're waiting. And when you're standing in the door, we're within 30 seconds of the drop zone, and that red light will go off, and the green one will come on, and you can see it. And when that thing turns, that buddy, that jump master hits you on the back of that backpack, and you go. That's the command. Go. That's the last command. And I'll tell you what, we can get 123 men out of an aircraft in less than 5 seconds. Let me tell you what. You can take all the training. You can have all the good intentions. But if you don't exit, you're not even close to being the kind of soldier I'm talking about being. And I'm going to tell you what, it's the same way being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You can take classes, you got to do something with it. You got to exit. My call to preach, my confirmation of my call to preach came out of Mark chapter 5, verse 19. About the many that get there, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. We can soak it up, we can train, we can memorize, but you got to get out there and do something with it. Luke 14:23 said, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, and my house may be filled. And you're aware of Mark 16, where the disciples were told to go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. If you're ever going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to enlist. You're going to have to sign. It ain't going to come automatically. The flesh will gravitate the other way. You're going to have to endure some hardness. You're going to have to get a hold of the fact that you're going to take the tougher route, and you're going to be held to a little higher standard. And so if your comfort zone is the most important thing for you, you're not even qualified. You can be a good soldier. Amen? But you're going to have to get into the good fight of faith somewhere. So, 3 things to help you tonight. Enlist, endure, and exit. So let me ask you just something you chew on. Have you enlisted? First of all, you have to be saved. You have to be saved to even think about it. Right? So, that'd be a good question. Are you? I don't know everybody in here. If you're not, you need to be, and you can be. And Jesus Christ went the distance to make it possible for you to be. And if you're not sure what I'm talking about, there's people all over this room be more than happy to take a few minutes, talk to you about it. Amen? But I just want to say this to you. You can be saved and not be a good soldier. Matter of fact, there's some that are AWOL. Amen? Matter of fact, there's some that are deserters. I already told you what I think about deserters. Number 2, are you enduring hardness or whining all the time? Playing the victim card. I see it. Week in and week out, I'm somewhere. And it's amazing. Like I said last night, people with more talent and more opportunity than me are squandering it because they're just having a pity party for themselves. You didn't deserve to be saved from hell. What makes you think you deserve anything now? That book says you are bought with a price. You're not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, or Amen? You got to endure hardness. You know, it said in a passage, no man at war hath entangled himself in the affairs of this life that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. And you know what? There's some good, well-meaning Christians that, for whatever reason, have got themselves entangled in the affairs of this life. And maybe what God would have you tonight do is make a step toward getting unentangled. Say, well, it's hard. Yeah, I know, but get God in on it. Why don't you come to the altar and ask God to help you? I've done it a million times. We live in a day and age where I don't know what the deal is, but I'll tell you what, in Bible school 25 years ago, we used to talk about the denominations that didn't give altar calls. And now we do. Nobody budges. Bible believers don't budge. Preach your heart out. Bible believers don't budge. And then we say, if the Spirit of God bore witness to anything in the message, respond to it. And nobody moves. And then we go to the lost person and say, if you're in here and you're not saved, come forward. And you know what that guy's thinking? Are you out of your mind? The people that do this all the time, they're not moving. You think I'm going to stand up? That's where we're at. Let's endure hardness as a good soldier. Let's set good examples. Have you exited? I mean, I see you're here tonight. This is where you get trained. There's way more to being a consecrated Christian than just coming to church. There's lost people that are more dedicated and faithful to church than we are. Amen? We got a lot of armchair generals. They'll point out that, I don't think you're doing that right. I told one, I'd rather be doing it wrong than doing nothing like you. Amen? All right, so if you've been there, let me say this. If you've been at it, by all means, stay at it. Don't you love that song, Hold the Fort? For I am coming. He's coming. I want to be found faithful. Amen? I won't be perfect until he gets here. But I want to be found faithful. I want to be found faithful to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because he deserves it. All right? Let's stand. All right. Preacher, you come. I'm done.